this. The DL debate is brought to you by the Dry Arts Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.
Welcome one and all, this is the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in, and what was a huge weekend of sport, particularly here in Donegal, our ladies finishing up with a victory over Waterford in the championship, rounding off their season, and of course the two big semi-finals, our hurlers and footballers coming through. I'm going to be joined later in the show by hurling boss Mickey McCann to discuss a brilliant win over Mayo and the Nicky Rackard final coming up this weekend against Mayo. Also, we're going to be speaking with Galway great Ja Fallon around their narrow defeat to Mayo in the Connacht final, and also a new feature in the show with training plans and diet tips that will be attached to our podcast, advice from our expert Adam Spear of Spear's Performance. But first, we turn our attention to the big game at the weekend in Breffni Park and Donegal's 10 out of 10 performance and their victory over Armagh. I'm joined by two men to discuss all the big issues of the day. A man who's won it all, club and county, Cross McGlenn and Armagh. Now a top pundit, as he's about to demonstrate this. A serious after dinner speaker as well, if you can afford him, is the one and only Oisin McConville.
Brendan, how's form?
Good man, Oisin. Welcome to the show, sir. And joining him is one of our heroes of 2012, a man who's waiting desperately to get his hands on the Dr. Maguire, which, of course, has been delayed. It's Kilcare's great, the one and only, Mark McHugh.
Cheers, Brendan.
How are you getting on, lads?
Good.
Of course, good.
Can't complain.
Oisin, you're a busy man. Hey, you're here, there and everywhere. You're seeing some ball. Hey, you are probably the ultimate expert at the minute.
Wow. yeah. Yeah, in my own head, I'm probably the best pundit that's around. But I have to say, I've had more enjoyable days watching football matches than Saturday. Saturday was a pretty chastening experience for anybody from Armagh. I know there's a lot of people beforehand said, listen, Oisin, I'd love to be in your shoes. I'd love to be going to that game. But there wasn't too many of them saying that after the game. It was, as I say, it was a chastening experience, and it was a massive wake-up call, I think, for people in Armagh, but also for the players.
Yeah, Oisin, we were, as Donegal, as I say, there was a lot of kind of fears in the background. We'd seen the conditions, you know, they weren't as bad, obviously, on Saturday. The conditions, particularly, I suppose, in Balbuffet and in different grounds, you look at Cork and Kerry, it looked like it was maybe levelling teams out a bit. So with Armagh, you know, it looked like they were a bit of a common team. They certainly had a good midfield forward line. You know, there was danger signs there, and you know, a lot of us were thinking this could be a potential upset, and it's hard to believe that from an Armagh perspective, was there a lot of confidence in the county going into it?
I wouldn't say there was a lot of confidence. I think most people in Armagh were of the same opinion that I was, that we wanted to see them going there and putting it up to Donegal, and I think most people felt, 99% of people in Armagh would have felt that Donegal were just that little bit too good for Armagh. I think I just have to look at, you know, the Donegal bench, what's coming off the bench, the amount of players they have available to them, and the options that they have. And I think for me, that was always why just Donegal had that little bit of an edge. Now, don't get me wrong, I didn't see Armagh wilting the way they did, but you know, Donegal were very, after the initial 10 or 12 minutes, Donegal just, they owned the middle of the field, defensively just looked sound, they were able to turn the ball over in the final third, and Armagh really, really struggled to get any sort of primary possession, and once they pushed up and Blaine Cuse's kickouts, you know, it was game over. And you know, like with 28 or 9 minutes gone in the first half, like, you know, literally Armagh were just playing for pride, which is, as I say, you know, Armagh's a team that's gone from Division 2 going up into Division 1, and you just wonder, like, you know, you spend 3 or 4 years trying to get to where you want to get to, like, as in Division 1 football, and you're just wondering, you know, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, it's going to, as I say, it's going to be very, very tough, not only Division 1 football, but just, you know, Armagh are just a step below, I think, what those initial 5 or 6 teams are. I think there's a couple of tiers. I think Dublin are obviously top tier, and then there's 4 or 5 teams under that, and then there's another tier where everybody else is involved, and I think you can stick Armagh into that final tier, and it is disappointing. We have a huge amount of work. We've done a huge amount of work, and we've got to a certain point, but there's still a huge amount of work to be done to get to those, to get to the likes of Donegal and Kerry and Dublin, these boys.
Yeah, I want to get into that a wee bit more with you, Oisin. And Mark, just to you, Mark, the throwing game, and I know the conditions and you know, certain players really stood up for us on the day, but all over there was a lot of kind of question marks. It wasn't, conditions aside, a brilliant performance from Donegal. We kind of stuck in and got the result. But were you expecting this, the game, and have you seen a better performance from Donegal in, you know, in this last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, I suppose, listen, what you said there about the performance against Tyrone, like it was something Donegal didn't need. Really, was a performance. It was more of a result. You know, we're in this game for results, I think, you know, and people forget that sometimes. I'd rather play bad some days and win than play good and lose. But taken away, Donegal just so badly needed that result against Tyrone. You know, over the last number of years, these really kind of one-off games. Hey, we weren't coming out on top of them. You know. And that was due to a lot of factors. You know, I think, you know, speaking this last number of years, everybody might have called Donegal a one-man or two-man team. Hey, and I don't think we are that anymore. We've a great depth now in our squad. You know, and I think that's a massive step. You know, you look at Dublin this last 5 or 6 years. You know, everybody's saying that they're bench, and even, you know, I looked at Kerry this year. Their squad depth was really, really strong too. But we know what happened to them. But it's not a 15, 16-man game anymore. And I suppose with everything, you could be playing for 80 minutes now. So you need these people coming off the bench. And we've seen at the weekend the strength that Donegal have, which is a massive plus. The other thing, you know, I have to say, I didn't have that. I didn't have any fears going up to the game at the weekend. You know, I don't know, you said maybe that you did, that there were signs that it could be an upset, the conditions. I don't know, is it maybe because I've been involved kind of recently enough with that team, but any game I go into, I just have a wild confidence of Donegal, because I know the way they chat, and I know the way they see games. They don't get ahead of themselves, you know. Everything's focused on the next game, and when you just sat down to analyse the game beforehand, I could only see 1-1er. Like I just think Donegal was far too powerful for Parma, and you know, as Oisin said there, you know, they're probably a wee bit below that, you know, they're probably between Division 1 and Division 2, but it's kind of a bit like, I suppose, like it's a bit like our own championship, Brendan. Like, you know, there's four teams maybe in Ireland that can win it. There's an odd team that can cause an upset, and everybody else after that is probably a wee bit below, you know, where they need to be at. So it was a serious performance. You know, that old cliche of, Was Donegal that good, or was Armagh that bad? And it's always kind of, you're saying, somewhere in the middle. But you have to give serious credit to that Donegal team, that performance, because, you know, it was a day everything clicked for them. I think Armagh focused far too much on Michael Murphy, and they just let everybody else kind of, you know, tap easy scores, say, for a certain. Every time he got the ball, you know, we've seen the picture of four or five men over him, and he would take that all day. That shows you what kind of a play, you know, leader he is. And he just takes that abuse, and everybody else benefits from it. And I think we've seen that massively on Saturday.
Yeah. Just before the game, Oisin, you know, the changes, Jarlath Ogg coming in, and Craig McCabe. So you, straight away, it was a midfielder and a defensive type player. So then you've got, and were these guys over talked before? Rory Grugan, Stephen Campbell, Jamie Clark. I mean, listen, I think Rian O'Neill is an unbelievable talent, but he still did what he could on the day, and he's someone you could certainly build your forward line around. But were you very disappointed, Oisin? Because it looked like the rest of the team then would form a defensive shape and try and break out and give those four guys the ball to go and play. But, you know, it didn't. It never seemed to happen.
Yeah, well, I actually, Brendan, I was really happy after 10 or 12 minutes. To be honest, I thought that Armagh had soaked up a nice little bit of pressure. It didn't look good, you know, when Langan caught the ball from the throw-in, sauntered through and kicked the ball over the bar. I didn't think it looked good, but I thought Armagh gathered themselves, as I say, for the next 10 or 12 minutes. I thought Armagh were, you know, right up there as far as defensively. I thought that's as good as we played. I just think it just kept breaking down. We got to the final third of the pitch. Wrong people on the ball, wrong decision making, all those sort of things. But Armagh were still hanging in there, and they were still, you know, they were turning Donegal over, you know, in their final third. I think there was a massive focus on what Michael Murphy was going to do. He was on the edge of the square. I thought Aidan Faulkner did a decent job on him. And as I say, after, you know, 10 or 12 minutes, I was very happy the way things were going. I would have liked to see us being able to, you know, when we were transitioning, to be able to get a few scores on the board. But, you know, after that initial period, I mean, you know, we offered nothing. You know, you're talking about forwards, you know, playing as forwards. I mean, you know, Ryan spent most of his time in the middle of the field. You know, Oshin played a lot of his football around as an orthodox sweeper. You know, Stephen Campbell just had a real poor day at the office. Rory Grugan the same. You know, those two guys were immense for us against Derry. Jamie has played no football whatsoever all year. He played two league games. He was taken off in the final league game against Clare. He looked really good, back to his best against Derry, I thought, hungry for scores. And he played a very withdrawn role. And, I don't know what you guys think, but there's certain players in the field that I don't want to see them working hard. I don't want to see them, you know, back defending. I don't want to see them, you know, creating. I just want to see, you know, boys at the top of the pitch who can get on the end of things and finish. And, you know, we didn't score from play till the 48th or 49th minute. That was a point from Jamie. But I just don't think we offered enough up front. I don't think we caused Donegal enough headaches. Go back to the old Mike Tyson one. You know, we had a plan. I think we had a plan. But a plan's okay until you get punched a couple of times and the plan goes out the window. And I think our plan seemed to go out the window very, very early. And the last point on it, Brendan, for me was, and the most worrying, was that when we changed and when we turned and when I heard, you know, the sideline saying, let's push up and let's, you know, go for it. Like, I mean, the game was over at basically half time. Like, I can't understand when we come out in the second half, when we pushed and we pressed, why, you know, everybody didn't buy into that. We were still playing with two men in front of a full back line, you know, for the last...
I couldn't figure that out at all, actually. Like, you were coming out in the second half and you were just handing all the kickouts where you needed to get possession of the ball, you know, you were just handing it to them.
Yeah, and like, that's why I love Cavan, lads. I love Cavan for a couple of reasons. You know, the game they played against Monaghan, they just pushed and pressed, but when they pressed properly. It was just man for man. And listen, you were fighting your own corner. And to get to a stage in a lot of games, lads, where you have to turn and you just have to say, listen, we have to go at it and we have to give it a go and go out, you know, throwing a couple of punches or something. Like, but, you know, Ahmad didn't do that. And that, for me, was probably the most disappointing thing. I knew before the game that at a fair idea, Donegal wasn't going to win the game comfortably enough. But the fact that we didn't, you know, take a few swings, you know, was the most disappointing thing for me.
Yeah, Mark, you highlighted there, Mark, about the going this Donegal camp and how positive you were going up into the game. I'm just thinking, while Oshie's talking here about Armagh and they're catching up to Donegal in the meantime are perfecting, taking on blanket defences. And you know this too well, Mark, you've played with all these guys. I'm just thinking about the job of, you know, the backroom team there. You've Boner, you know, Rochford, Lacey, McGonigal. You know, the work that's going on in the background means that as certain teams are catching up, Donegal then are, as I say, perfecting the ability to take apart what was a blanket defence. You know, Armagh obviously had 13, 14 players inside the 45 at times. It didn't matter.
Yeah, and it shows you exactly, you know, I said earlier on how well coached they are. Now, I was never involved with Stephen Rochford. And just listening to some of the boys, like what he's brought to it is, you know, a new level again. But Carr Lacey, Boner, and Paul McGonigal, you know, Lacey, in my opinion, is brilliant. Hey, he really can coach that defensive work. Like, Oshin, you're on about, you know, Rain O'Neill, Jamie Clark, boys didn't play well. That just doesn't happen, you know. Donegal are very, very good at taking the big players out of a game. Like, even look at the Tyrone game, Peter Hart, Matty Donnelly, McKenna, you know, when they need to, Donegal, you know, even over the last number of years, are very, very good at taking out the big players of the opposition team. And it doesn't happen, you know. It's every county's at it. It goes down to the very, very fine margins. There's no stone left unturned when it comes to preparing for a game and putting a team out in the field. And they come up with so many different things that can happen throughout a match. And you know, I liked against Tyrone. You know, we conceded the goal, and you know, I think in games gone past, especially the way that was, it wasn't easy to come back from that. But they just forgot about it. You know, mistakes happen. They forgot about it. They moved on and they pushed on again. And I that really, really impressed me. But, you know, as I said, the belief is in that squad. Like, it's led obviously by Michael Murphy. It's player driven, and them young lads are coming into the squad now. You know, we looked at Morgan and Jack McKelvey. You know, people like this coming in, they know no difference. You know, it's the way it is, and everything that can be done to make that Donegal team better in this last number of years, they are doing it. And I totally agree, Bryn, with you. We're probably going to that next level. You know, as I said, there's big, really, really positive talk about what Stephen Rochford has brought. I haven't been involved with him, but you can just see him at the games. You know, the coaching they're doing from the line throughout the games. We can see it a wee bit more now because the supporters, and we can hear what they're saying. And you know, they're just an oil. You know, they're just like a wash machine. They just keep going round and round. And if something happens that's off cue, they'll just park it and just keep going back to it. You know.
Like, if you look at Donegal, like if you look at what Tyrone did to Donegal this year, and you'd say Michael Murphy was going to have a quiet game and Ray McHugh was going to have a quiet game 2 years ago, lads, that was enough to win you the game, basically, especially with a team like Tyrone. But the supporting cast, the likes of Langan and Morgan and Thompson and Jamie Brennan, they have threats. Donegal have a lot of threats coming from everywhere. And as I say, 2 years ago, that would have been enough to win you the game. The supporting cast wasn't good enough, but they have matured. They've grown into it. And I think, you know, that's where the real strength lies now for Donegal, is that if you're matching up against Donegal, okay, yes, you're still going to concentrate on Murphy. You're still going to concentrate on Ray McHugh. You're going to have, you know, your best man marker probably on Jamie Brennan. But you've got so many other options then. You know, as I say, you've got Thompson, you've got Niall O'Donnell. And what they've added to it, for me, big thing, and when I seen the Donegal play Tyrone in the league game, I know, Mark, you were up at that one. When I seen that, they added pace. That's what the one thing I would say that they have added from the start of the league right through to now. And lads, look phenomenal at the minute. Phenomenal.
Yeah. You just mentioned there about Armagh. You know, for years, you were in your team, you were nearly unbeatable at Ulster. You owned the competition. You know, in the last 10 years, like Donegal won 5, Monaghan 2, Tyrone 3. You know, I should see from our perspective, if you're club football and underage, there's always something happening. There's new players coming through. What's happening in Armagh around the club scene and underage that there was this big gulf from? Because I always think from your time of playing, surely you inspired so many young Armagh boys to go out and play. You always felt that there would be a certain conveyor belt of talent. How come that dried up for a while and things went down to Division 3?
I don't think our coaching structure is good enough. I think that's the first thing. I've been saying that now for about 5 or 6 years. I think we've been dreadful at minor level. We've been very poor at under 20, under 21. Last 6 or 7 years, we struggled to win any sort of game in Ulster. I know that's not the be all and end all, but as a result of that, you know, we're finding it very difficult to get players through. There are players coming through, and I think we are a little bit better than what we showed at the weekend. But these players, the players that are coming through, need to be given a head now. The young lads need to be given a head. They need to be given an opportunity. You know, we have. I wouldn't call it a conveyor belt now, but I would say that we have 2-3 players coming through every year, and those players need to be used. And unless they're used, you know, we're going to lose them. Young lads don't hang about. I don't know what it's like in Donegal, but in Armagh, young lads aren't hanging around anymore for, you know, for 4 years or 5 years to be given an opportunity. They want their opportunity and they want it there and then. And as I say, they're not hanging around. So I still think we have a huge amount of work to do, you know, down the grades. But Armagh will always be okay because we're a footballing county. I mean, there's very, like people often ask me, you know, how come Cross were successful and all these things. Like, one of the main reasons why we were successful was nothing else. We didn't have anything else. You know what I mean? Like, when I grew up, like in 70s, 80s, 90s, like, the only thing in Cross was the Troubles. You know, apart from that, there was a Gaelic football team. We didn't have hurling, we didn't have rugby, we didn't have soccer, we didn't have athletics, we didn't have a gym, we didn't have a swim pool. We had none of those things, and all we had was Gaelic football. So I think that, you know, there is still a focus big time on Gaelic football, and Armagh will always be okay because we'll always have players coming through. But I just think the quality of players we've had through in the last 5 or 6 years just haven't been good enough to bridge that gap to wanting to be at the very, very top. And sometimes you have to have an acceptance for where you're at. And I think I have an acceptance at this stage for where we're at. I think we are, you know, a good Division 2 team. I think it's going to be another chasing and experience next year when we get up into Division 1. But Saturday just confirmed everything that, you know, that I would have thought over the last 12 or 18 months is that, you know, we're still a little bit away from where we need to be. So that gap is not going to, you know, we're not going to condense that until, you know, we start bringing through, you know, quality players. And at the minute, they're probably just not there.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Listen, no one knows it better than you. The good time spike could be back when Oisin McConville takes the big job, when McGeaney's done all the donkey work and hands over the team to you, Oisin. Oisin, Mark, just looking ahead, you touched on Murphy there, and interesting, and your views on McBertie coming back. There was a time a bit like Murphy and Ryan McHugh that McBertie was vital to us kind of qualifying. You think back to Tyrone a couple of years ago that day in Ballybuffet, and you always think if McBertie was in the pitch, we'd have been too far out of sight, you know. But now, you say, with all these different players coming in and around, he's not as vital, but still, you know, he came on the last day. You could see, obviously, of course, he was a small bit rusty, but just his role and Murphy's role going forward, the fact he's been that man marked as the season goes on and into this Ulster final against the comeback Kings of Cavan.
Hi, comeback Kings. No, listen, we touched on the start there. Donegal is not that one or two man team that we've seen. Oisin alluded to it there, you know, and that's such serious positive signs. Like, you have these other men now taking on the mantle, like, you know, probably led by Kieran Thompson. You know, he's getting to that stage now of his career where he's doing the things for Donegal that he does for Niamh Connell, which is out leading from the front. You have Michael Lang and Jamie Brennan. You know, even Pattern Morgan. You know, the defense is sturdy now. Obviously, you know, Steve McMenamin will be a loss if his injury is as serious as we first think. But there's serious competition there for places, Bryn. You know, which is good. That means training is, you know, at a serious high level. Everybody's fighting for their spot. You know, there'll be no held punches, you know, in training, but McBertie, you know, that's his first game since we played Gidor. You know, Kilcare played Gidor up in Letterkenny, and that must be nearly 2 months ago. So it'll take him a bit of time. I don't know how he's going to training or nothing like that. But them wee snippets of games, you'll probably hopefully see a bit of time in the Ulster final. And you know, it doesn't take him long. You know, if I know Paddy, this long time he had serious injuries before, it doesn't take him long to regain that sharpness, and he will be a big plus for us going down to Croke Park if we get there. The other massive, and I just want to, the massive plus we've had this last number of years is Sean Patton. Sean has brought goalkeeping, I think, within Donegal to a complete different level. Like, Kieran McGeaney was down in front of me at the game. He was in the stand. We were just in front of us there, even where you were, boys. Mm-hmm. And all he was shouting was over the top, over the top. So that's how teams see Donegal. They're worried about this over the top. So if you're covering off that, you're just popping out wee short balls, and it's giving Donegal that into the game. Then when they do push up, like say Tyrone did, He kicks a 65-yard ball down to Paddy Morgan, and we get a goal from it. So it's a wild armour to have. And, you know, he is brilliant at what he does. He has no backlift. He has two steps, and it can go 70 metres. It can go 7 metres, you know. And Mark, would
you have a small bit of fear, Mark? And listen, Donegal, absolutely phenomenal. So you couldn't even start to really, or on Saturday, you couldn't even start to kind of talk about anybody in the team because everybody was brilliant.
Yeah.
A small bit of a fear just, Mark, against better opposition. The fact that we had Ryan halfback with Pater Mogan, and if McMenamin's out, you know, we keep asking a lot of Neil McGee and he keeps going back to the well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you have a small bit of fear 1-1? We were exposed 1-1 against Mayo last year and against Tyrone the previous season whenever they set on subs and the game opened up. Is that the one issue you would have that we really need to protect our defence and the likes of Hugh McFadden's role vital in that?
Yeah, and I was just going to say that. You know, Hugh is playing that better this year than he has in other years, definitely. You know, it was a harsh call. I think it was Morgan. He was called for charging, but that's just that physicality he shows there. And listen, you have to take it as it's a worrying for Donegal in that sense. If they do come across Dublin, do come across Mayo, that McMenamin, McGrath, Owen McFadden, Ferry, Conor Morrison, you know, your own club there, these lads might not be about. But you know, I would worry about it to an extent. But again, as I go back to, you know, do anybody in my opinion is slot anywhere. You know, we're looking down the line. You have Keelan Ward from St. Junan's, Brendan McCall. These boys hopefully can just, you know, they'll have to step up to the mantle. And they just slip into that wee cog. I just don't think, you know, if we are playing Dublin, that they're going to be afforded that opportunity of being left 1-1. Mm-hmm. It'll come down to the coaching again. And they'll come up with a plan to hopefully stop it. But
Have we turned half forwards and half backs slash half forwards? If you wanted, I guess like your own Kilcar, you're forwards playing everywhere, which when you get possession is absolutely frightening. And I think that's one of Kilcar's big plus points. And Donegal's the same. You know, if we protect our defence, once everybody gets it, everybody can affect the team going forward, you know, right from obviously one ban out.
Yeah, but like, you know, they work extremely hard, and they're all extremely fit, you know. And if they do give away possession or something like that, you can see them working so hard to get it back and get back into that shape. You know, Hugh is coordinating that whole thing. He's like a quarterback there. What he's doing, you know, we can see the whole game. If Donegal lose the ball, he just steps back inside, and you know, he's trying to. I'm just trying to think. Yeah. Who else might, you know, Paul Brennan is a person that has played in the full back line before. You know, Dara Wheel can come into half back and stuff like that. There's options there for them. You know, as
we might play back McFadden Ferry. We'll get the helicopter.
Yeah, if they all want to do that, I'd say you'd be welcome back. But yeah. it's a wee worrying. And again, there's no point, you know, getting too far ahead of ourselves here. But it's definitely positive. No matter if we do end up getting beat this year at some stage, it's positive going forward for Donegal.
Yeah, no, definitely, it's definitely positive. But all the gaze that you're after naming, like, there's no, like, McMenamin, I think, has been one of the best finds, you know, as far as Donegal is concerned. I know he's about probably 4 or 5 years, but he's really come into his own as somebody who's just a stopper. Like, he started on Rain the other day, so obviously he's the main man marker. But if he's out, I don't know if... The worry I would have for Donegal coming up against Dublin, because listen, that's going to be the matchup that's going to happen now at semi-final stage. But the worry I would have for Donegal is that there's just not enough people who can sacrifice the game just to take somebody out of it. Brendan, you spent your career playing against guys like this who were able to sacrifice the game. I call them the hand pass kings. The cornerbacks who never ever kicked the ball, they just did their job.
Spoilers.
The hand pass. Yeah, they just there's bad children. You know, that's what I used to call them. just a gaze. Like, if my son ever grows up and says I want to be a cornerback, like I probably will disown him. Like, I love him and all that there, but I probably will disown him. But the thing about Donegal is they have a lot of guys who are just like out and out footballers. And who can play anywhere? Like Mogan is as comfortable in the half back line as he is in the half forward line. But if he's given a job to on a Kilkenny or somebody like that, can he sacrifice his game and can he take Kilkenny completely out of the game? That's where the worry is. And especially now, like you're talking about out and out stoppers. You've got Neil McGee, who is, you know, getting to the latter stages of his career, and you have McMenamin, and it looks as if he's probably not going to be fit now. It's going to be tough for him to be fit if it's a hamstring injury. So that's the worry, is that they don't have enough stoppers. Like.
Yeah, true. I think
Eamon Doherty there. Sorry, Brendan. Eamon Doherty would have marked Kieran Kilkenny, you know, in the past, and did a good job on him. You know, times I was playing, he would have. You know, he's still there in the panel. Yeah. I do think we have people. It's probably not our first choice people, but I know they'll do their best. I know whoever it is, and I wouldn't be too worried about it, as people would be saying.
We'll find a man for him, Mark.
Yeah, you're right.
I would love to continue this chat. We're running short on time there. I wanted to even chat about Hoshin, but it's famous. This Is Your Life. And how many footballers have had This Is Your Life by up in the car? We had a great night a few years ago, I'll tell you that. That shows you the level this man was at. There might be one for you in the future, Mark. And also, he was managing in a scheme this year, and he tackled Desi Moan in a championship game. Poor Clontibret. I didn't even get a chance to get into that. Lads, we will again. Thanks so much for joining us and giving us your views on the weekend's action. I'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, Brent.
Cheers, lads. And now, as I said at the top of the show, we turn our attention to the big game in Connacht and the Connacht final between Galway and Mayo. Mayo coming through by the narrowest of margins. And interestingly, first final since victory since 2015. And I'm joined on the line by a man that knows a thing or two about lifting Connacht and basically lifting everything else as well, including Footballer of the Year, an award not many footballers get their hands on. It is, of course, Tuam Stars and Galway great Jaff Allen. How are you, Jaff?
Brendan, how are you? How are you doing?
You've the shoulder to the wheel there. You're licking the wounds after it was such a tough, tense game. Could have went either way, Jaff, but, you know, in this knockout game, Galway are left, I suppose, wondering what might have been.
Yeah, I suppose coming into it, we thought like you'd have to fancy Mayo with the couple of games in the championship that had. It's unfortunate with Galway with Sligo, so they didn't really get much of a run into it. But in fairness, when they look at it this morning, I'd say they'd be a bit in sore because there was a couple of opportunities there to at least bring it extra time, you know. So it's a pity, but I suppose from a Mayo point of view, they had enough opportunities to put the game out of sight early on. So, you know, misfortune, you know, and missed opportunities for us.
Yeah, and, you know, the league form seemed, I suppose, straight away. It's funny how the media looks at league form. Galway at one stage were the pretenders to the title against the Dubs. We keep wondering who's going to take on the Dubs. You know, that hammering they gave Tyrone really set a lot of tongues wagging around the potential in this team. Now, I know what you said, the Sligo thing. Comer, of course, such a huge player, an important player being out too. But certainly, you know, you're never too sure what you're going to get with Mayo. And it looked like Josh was maybe putting a kind of system in play which was going to get the most from the team.
Yeah, well, sure. Like, in fairness, look back to last February before pre-COVID, they were really flying and, you know, they were playing lovely football. And, you know, there's no doubt about the talent more than Donegal. There's a serious amount of talent and pace there. But I suppose they just met Mayo, and with COVID, we had a number of injuries when we came back after 6 months. And that took that really took the sting out of them, really, altogether. Just didn't recover from that defeat against Mayo here 4 weeks ago. So, yeah, it's misfortune the way it worked out, because in fairness, the momentum had built up and you could see that as a team and that they were really going places. But sadly, as we know only too well with the knockout system, it's all or nothing, and it's a long year to championship again the following year, you know. So,
yeah, and Jack, we still could be talking a very different story here between myself and yourself. I mean, that Owen McLaughlin black card, Galway are bearing down a potential goal and a smash and grab, and all of a sudden it's such a different world, you know. That's the nature of this knockout now, you know, whereas Galway could be going into a semi-final and a potential final, you know, all of a sudden they're back wondering, where are we?
Oh, if you had beaten them, like, it's a huge opportunity, because all it takes is 3 games. You'll never get an opportunity like 3 games to win All-Ireland, you know, and you would think that either Galway or Mayo, who came out of yesterday, they would take Tip or Cork, because they wouldn't have a huge experience. But yeah, it's misfortune with Galway. They came up against a hardened Mayo team. You know, in fairness, the Lee Keegans and, you know, the Killian O'Connors, they were a hardened outfit, and they found a few young lads, and, you know, they will get better. You know, they'll probably be the underdog coming into it, and into the All-Ireland, but they still should be in the final. You can't, to be honest, I can't see Cork or Tip beating Mayo in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, you'd think that experience would count. You just felt it as the game closed in, that maybe a bit of experience was in the Mayo side. Now, people might say when it come to the very big day, the All-Ireland finals, they couldn't get across the line. You just felt that they were just going to keep Galway at bay. And I know those couple of long-range frees that Galway went for, that just fell that bit short. You're wondering, should they have been worked in, Jah? I know I've seen you kick sidelines in Croke Park and what have you. If it had been yourself on the ball, it might have been a bit different. But it just felt that Mayo were just going to keep them at arm's length and do enough to get across the line.
Yeah, it seemed that way. Because I suppose, looking back, it was a lot of damage. I think they got 6 scores from turnovers in the first half, Mayo. And, like, that's a huge amount of scores. Like, if we'd gone in at half-time, we were only 3 down, which wasn't bad. But, like, when you kind of hand or 6 scores, and I think that's down to championship. If you look back to Mayo in the first game against Leitrim, they struggled. In fairness, Leitrim really put it up to them. So, you know, they just got to the pace of the game that little bit faster, and the intensity in their tackle. And it took us a while to get back. But you're right in the sense of, like, Mayo just kept them there and sent, probably could have got a goal or two near the end, and they tagged on a punch point and just kept their nose in front, you know. But hindsight, looking back, probably I'd say Shane had a time back. He could have, he looked short, or even if Gary Sice might have, because he's good with the left peg for Corfin over the years, might have been an option. But, you know, it's a pity. If we got just one more score, extra time, Anthony could have happened.
Yeah, and listen, taking nothing away from Walsh, obviously, no more than yourself, that man is an unbelievable talent. And I often kind of, I know he wouldn't like you saying this, but I feel a bit sorry for him that he maybe just missed out from, say, that guy would have just blossomed in your team. And I've seen him do things on a pitch as good as anybody else. I mean, he has the ability to put them over the bar. Don't get me wrong. And I suppose that's the difference. It's just one of those days. He still had a brilliant game himself, but I mean, he's an unbelievable talent.
Oh, he's unbelievable. You'd pay your money every day to go and watch him. He just pressed the turbo, off he goes. And left or right, solo, dummy left or right, or bang them over. It's a joy to watch, in fairness. You know, probably frustrating for him. You know, you want to see for the full hour at times, and you know if he gets on the ball. But I suppose, looking at Shane, I think at times he probably just take too much at times, where he's nearly better off giving the 10-yard pass or a hand pass and then taking it. And then he'd be so much harder to mark at times. But when he opens up, I don't think there's a player like him in the country, in fairness, and over the last number of years. It's just a shame that we won't see him in Croke Park this year, and I suppose as every year goes by, it's harder to get there, you know, so it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, and just looking from your time, obviously, Michael Meehan, I heard a bit of him on News Talk the last night about coming in at the end of them brilliant teams of yours, you know, 98 and 2001, and the kind of weight of expectation. And there was always, Galway was always a team was loved because you always played ball. And I think of all teams, you struggled with the new era of football, the blanket defence. And, you know, sometimes you would try it and all your supporters would give up. That's not how Galway play. And eventually with Kevin Walsh, they did get a system in place. But I think of all counties, you know, when I look around Ireland, this change in football has affected Galway probably more than anybody.
It probably has, I suppose. Like, I know, and the outlook, I'm not a big defensive fan of it now either, and over the years, but I think Donegal are the one team that have the balance now at the moment. You can see they have the pace, the power to defend, that they will put a serious challenge. Please God, if they get over Cavan, to be expected that they'll really put it up to Dublin. You know, it'll be a fantastic game, because they have the pace and the power. You know, they were extremely impressive on Saturday. You know, and I know it's a little bit early to show complete form at that, but to knock up, I don't know, was it 123 or whatever it is, into serious scoring. You know, but in fairness, Galway have probably struggled in that. Yeah, but that takes a lot of time, I suppose, to get the right coach. I suppose Kevin was probably, when Kevin Welch had them, probably they were two or three years younger than they are now. Shane Welch has really blossomed the last couple of years. So when Kevin had them, he was a little bit younger, you know. So there's a bit of history and geography in the two, getting the right players at the right time, you know. So it's just a pity. I'd say Porrick now, a pity with the pre-COVID, that he would have moulded that a little better. Like, time was against him there, and he hadn't a whole lot of games to... It was an all or nothing on Sunday, and you're in or out of the championship, and sadly we're out of it.
Yeah, it's coming thick and fast at the minute, Joe. All right. Just as you're talking it, I suppose your ex-buddies there, Joyce and the likes of Dively, and coaching the team there, you're not tempted to go on. I know as a young Galway forward, if you were in talking, I would certainly listen.
I don't know about that. I think we're past it now at this stage. But no, in fairness, they have a good setup there with Porrick and Dibble's a very excellent coach as well. So, and John Concannon. So they have a fantastic setup. It's just, I suppose, sadly, you're going to be judged on results, and I suppose you'll be, they'll be fine going through a fine comb this morning on small things that really counters, you know. And pity we have to wait another year before we see the likes of Shane Walsh again.
Yeah, and listen, fine margins, as we said there, and you talked about paying NDC Shane Walsh. I'd say there was many a person around the country paid in just to see Jaff Fallon. Let me tell you, what a footballer. And Jaff, thanks so much for giving us that update on Connacht there. And so we roll on, Jaff, they play Cavan, and the Mayo men now lie in wait of the Munster champions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, thanks, Brendan, for everything. I'll chat to you soon.
Jack, good man. Thanks for joining us. I'll chat to you soon.
That's all.
Cheers, man.
Bye.
And as I said at the top of the show, this was semi-finals weekend for our footballers and hurlers. Two brilliant performances. Both, I'm delighted to say, coming through. And I'm joined now by the man in the hot seat, the hurling boss. It is Mickey McCann.
How are you, Brent?
Mickey, I'm the best. Hey, first off, congratulations on another brilliant victory. And Mickey, the word in, the fixture is the Nicky Rackard final is set for Sunday, 1:30 at Croke Park. What's your thoughts on the timing of the fixture?
Yes, well, I suppose maybe if we get read up, we'll be watching a bit of the football this week, Brent. But I suppose the both of them getting the road to one another badly last week. And even this week, like, we'll be lucky to get the second half. But look, that's the way the fixtures are this year. They're all being pushed on and a short period of time, so okay, same thing, we'll just switch off from football and get our own house in order. And wee bit of bonus now from Croke Park, Brendan. It was a wee bit of doubt where it was going to be played, but look, it's always nice for the hurlers to get a day in Croke Park.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, Mickey. And I suppose, yeah, you're right. I mean, if this was in the summer there, there'd be serious complaints about it, but just the way things are, you know, it doesn't matter if it's sport or life or work or whatever, we got to just kind of roll with that there, because what's there, because there's no time really for making everything perfect and making everything fit well.
That's right, Brendan. I suppose it's torture for the media and as much as anybody else, you know, trying to get people in different areas and two finals in one day. And last week we had three teams out, put the ladies on there too, you know. So look, that's just the way it is, you know. You can't have no complaints. We're just happy to be out there and playing and getting on with it. And look, it's great. The teams are all moving well in Donegal and two finals this week. Looking forward to, you know.
Brilliant, brilliant. Mickey, and listen, you've done so well with the side this year, you know, after the club championship got read up there, you know, wins with, against Longford, Armagh, and now Tyrone. And Mickey, the game at the weekend there, you hit the first couple of points, but then Tyrone had the better of the first half. It was a big, big second half that swung it for you.
Yeah, I suppose there's a wee bit of breathe there, Bren, you know, and we were happy enough at half-time, being a point down. We knew it was a 4 or 5 point breeze, you know, and Damon Casey's putting the ball over from 90 yards for them in the first half. And look, they're good up front, you know, and we were wearing off them. We've been down a few bodies and all, and we've been asking serious questions of our forwards and training and stuff after the Longford match. And now it has to be said, they've really stepped up in the last two matches against Armagh, and they tagged 325. And November hurling, Brendan, on Saturday, is some going without maybe your two best forwards, mustn't you know?
Yes, yes, indeed. And Mickey, Gilmore's goals set the tone as well in the game. It just seems to be this man has got a spark that can light up any game that he plays in.
Yes, Jared, a brilliant strike of the ball and great skill. And look, he's deadly around the net, you know, and a great finisher. And look, for them two chances, failed the right man. That's the man we wanted to get them on Saturday. Look, and two great finishes. And going into Croke Park and a good pitch, Jared should be another good outlet for us this week, you know.
Yeah, always brilliant to get to Croke Park, and I know it's obviously going to be strange in terms of supporters and that, but there's just something magical about the place. Mickey, just looking back to your 2018 win, Donegal's 2018 win against Warwickshire and the Nicky record, there's quite a turnover of players in there. I was just looking, Mickey, I know there's a couple of injuries there to the likes of the players you mentioned there that have to come back in, you know, Coulter, Laverty and Flynn. Taking them out of it, it looks like it was six players from the team that started against Tyrone that started in that game.
Yes, the big change, Bryn, and it's all good. You know, you've young Keely and O'Grady and them stepping up into the squad. Was there a couple of years. Mark Kellen from Santa, who served his time on the bench, a good wee corner back, and got in, you know, and playing well for us. Look, to be honest, they were hard up. They didn't get in on 18. Some of these boys, you know, are full back lines playing very well, and Mark probably just didn't make it. And the likes of Keely the same on the bench. But now if you injure, these boys are going on and set the pace up there, you know. And look, I've a bit of headache this week now, if we've a couple of boys fit again, and with forwards going so well last week, we've some big decisions to make.
Yeah, that's good to say, the kind of headaches that you want, I suppose. And again, you know, you're a bit freeze and the likes of Coulter, but Jack O'Loughlin, what a talent this guy has. Nothing seems to faze him, Mickey, and you can be sure if you entrust him with the likes of free-taking duties in Croke Park, he'll come up with the goods.
Exactly. No, I've been watching Jack through the club scene and hitting frees for his club. Now he's very accurate and a good percentage rate of them. And just probably because he's wing back, we never ever thought about him. But now we pushed him up. We pushed him up front. We put him under the mix for frees last Tuesday night, and he had a great scoring percentage practicing frees, you know. And he grew in confidence, getting scores from that and up front. Well, he's been a big plus for us, pushing up to number 11 when we're missing them other couple of lads, you know.
And in that second half, Mickey, your defenders tightened up big time on Tyrone when it really mattered.
Yes, I suppose we conceded 121, Brendan. You know, there's probably, just come through the video and all, that we weren't happy with the goal, and maybe we give four or five bad balls out that were turned over. And so look, we felt that we maybe could have held Tyrone, maybe they won four less, maybe, you know, defended very well, but maybe sometimes we turned it over, we panicked and didn't take the right option on the way out. But look, our defence has been very, very solid. Just maybe this week we could have held Tyrone a wee bit better, but overall, Brendan, we're very happy with the performance on Saturday, you know.
And look at the Mayo in the final. You know, I spoke to you at the very start of the season when the possible, you said that was the team you were aiming to beat, Mickey. They were the big challengers for you in that, and this is how it's ended up with yourself and them in the final.
Yeah, I suppose the two of us would have been tagged favourites maybe if we dodged one another to get to the final, Brendan. And look, they're a serious outfit. They've been hurling two divisions higher than us the last couple of years, and just going through things there, we haven't beat them maybe since 04 or 05, Brendan, in a long time. So they're going on hot favourites, Brendan, to be honest, but that's the kind of way we like Canandaigh games, to be honest. So Mayo's going to be a tough ask to put up big scores. Maybe the closest team to them was 12 or 14 points through the group stages. So look, it's a big ask, Brendan, but any given day a final can take any road of its own, you know. So we'll be getting in every aspect that we can turn them over, you know.
Yeah. If anybody can pull it together, you can. Mickey, just a wee word on pulling these teams together. Just looking at versus, say, our footballers, you know, you've got different levels, intermediate, junior. You've players coming from all over the place in terms of the county. You just have a certain couple of clubs, really, that you're pulling off. Is there a bit of friction between the boys after the club championship that you have to kind of get everybody together?
No, well, Brendan, I've played for Burt for 25 seasons, you know, and the club's seen as a lot of rivalry there, you know. But look, you get on with that sport, and when we met again and the county set up, everything was fine. Look, there has been over the last couple of years a bit of niggles and stuff, you know, but certain boys keep it alive, Brendan. You know, the players, there's a good boys on camp, and these boys are all getting on good, you know. That there might be one or two boys out there up looking to upset things and all the other, but we're going well on camp now, and everybody's getting on. And look, that's one thing we iron out. There's we're in the Donegal jersey, we're all pulling the one way, or it wouldn't work any other way, Brendan, you know. I'll always be a Burt man, but to be honest, when we're in the Donegal jersey, we're all in the one corner, you know.
Yeah, and listen, fair play, because it's so obvious from the team that they are all pulling together. It was just, Mickey, it just looks like that's something that probably doesn't even exist, really, in the footballers, because there's such a spread all over. But of course there's going to be tensions, because it's the same teams locking arms for the big. So listen, Mickey, fair play. That 25 years with Burt, what a career with Donegal, and now management. I mean, your effect on hurling between club and county has been massive over the time, and listen, we also want to thank you for that, and again congratulate you getting this final. The county's behind you, and hopefully we can, as you said, go on as underdogs and do the Mayo man.
Yeah, hopefully, Brendan, hopefully we can get do the double on Sunday, you know. It'd be nice.
Roll on. Now listen, Mike, can we word you next week, Mickey, if you have time, sir. Appreciate it. Listen, all the best on Sunday. We're rooting for you.
Okay, Brendan.
Thanks,
no
Mickey.
Chat again.
Right, folks, that's a wrap. Thanks so much, as I say, for listening in. Click on the podcast on highlandradio.com for that health and training advice from Adam Spear. Whether you're looking to make a start or you are a GAA player looking to, you know, gain strength and fitness, there's so much advice on there for you, so click on and have a look at that. From tonight's show, I just want to thank Kenneth for producing. I want to thank Jav Fallon, Mark McHugh, Mickey McCann and Oisin McConville for joining me, and I'll speak to you next week after what's hopefully a double victory weekend for Donegal in the Nicky Rackard and Ulster Finals. I'll chat to you then.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.